by the name of Defining the Great Apostasy, Scripture and the Church Fathers on the Great Apostasy. And I had done an awful lot of research for it, and as I was doing some research and study and reading in preparation for the talk that Mr. Hitchborn asked me to give, I interviewed a gentleman whose book I had read, a gentleman named, a really nice guy, too, very intelligent, very friendly chap and very eager to help, named Mr. Desmond Birch. And he wrote a book concerning approved private revelations and sort of triangulating the data of these approved private revelations with the data of the church's official public revelation. And as a result, and as particularly he did this to kind of dismiss a lot of the fake revelations that were coming out, and he as a result of the knowledge that he had from writing this book, he was kind of qualified to help, or he was qualified to help me with some points in this talk that I consulted him on. And the one point that is relevant to this episode 417 on the resurrection and the preaching of the church is this. This is not an episode about the end times, about the great apostasy, but the first sign that's given by Monsignor Poli, Father Sagres, and some other commentators who are basing themselves on what the fathers and doctors have taught about the signs that will accompany the end times and that will precede our Lord's second coming. And of course, it's all ultimately going back to our Lord's own words. But there's an awful lot of data in Revelation, including in St. Paul and elsewhere, that has to be kind of, triangulated. I mean, really coordinated. The first point is the general preaching of the Christian religion all over the earth. Our Lord says this gospel must first be preached to all nations. Now, what that means in the general consensus of Catholic authors of this isn't just that it's the mere, you know, kerygma, as they like to call it, the sort of first preaching, the first introduction to fundamental Christian truths that's going to be spread around all nations. And then some people will believe, some people won't. Some nations will accept the gospel, some won't. And you'll have this, the world sort of like it is now, where the true faith is still in a minority. No, the general consensus of Orthodox, that is to say Catholic commentators, is no, this will be efficacious preaching. And Desmond Birch was very insistent upon this. And what is that? What do I mean by efficacious preaching? It's not just that kerygma, that first introduction to Jesus Christ and the truths that accompany knowledge of Christ and the Trinity, like the resurrection being the big one. It will include also the administration of the sacraments. It will be something which will be catechetical in a fuller sense, including the mystagogy that the fathers of the church talked about, the mystagogical catechesis, which takes place after people are baptized and confirmed and given their Holy Communion. When they deepen in the mysteries of the faith and they integrate the mysteries of the faith into their daily lives. And the general consensus of the fathers, for instance, I'm going to quote St. Augustine here. So it doesn't mean necessarily that preaching, which will go to all nations, will mean that every single individual of every nation will accept the faith. But it does refer, at least according to Father Sagres, who is citing St. Augustine here, to the professing and living the faith more or less in all nations. So all nations will be converted, and more or less all of the faithful, all of the people there, will be practicing Catholics. The implications of this, of course, are immense, and they are radical, and it completely changes our notion of what it means for the faith to be preached across the whole world. Keep in mind, if your idea of faith, if you're an English speaker, which of course you are, if you're listening to me, otherwise I'm just making sounds. Your idea of preaching might be influenced by Protestants. It might be influenced by evangelicalism. It might be influenced by, you know, some guy on the street on a soapbox, just preaching up a storm. and trying to imitate St. Paul or something, instead of everything that goes along with preaching, which is preaching, it's baptism, it's bringing people to adore the one true God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost through the incarnate Word, our Lord Jesus Christ, the High Priest, in the sacrifice of the Mass, accompanied by the sacramental life that accompanies that, as well as the moral life into which that fits. So keep that in mind as the context here, that when I say preaching, when I say the preaching of the church, meaning Catholic preaching, I'm talking about a comprehensive concept of preaching, which is bringing people from unbelief to belief, then to baptism, then to confirmation, Holy Communion, you know, mystagogy, the deepening, they're deepening in the mysteries of the faith. They're learning the faith deeper and deeper and living it liturgically and integrating that into their daily life. And I'm not saying they become monks, therefore, and chant the divine office or something. But what I mean is that the faith and morals that they have been imbued with is going to be a leaven for their daily lives, and they in turn will be a leaven for people around them. That's preaching. It's not just saying words and, you know, commenting on the scriptures and turning on some televangelist or some radio preacher and hearing what the guy has to say. It's something comprehensive. It cuts to the quick. It really converts people, and they being converted are living a moral life, a sacramental life that's completely integrated. Okay, that's what I mean by preaching. So when I say the preaching of the church, that's what I mean. Now, let's start by looking at the gospel for in what in real time is today, which is to say Easter Friday, Feria Sexta of the Octave. And again, in real time, this is April 5th of 2024. And skipping to the gospel reading for today, Matthew 28, 16 to 20. At that time, the 11 disciples went into Galilee onto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And seeing him, they adored, but some doubted. And Jesus coming spoke to them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going, therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Now, in order to get a further grasp of what we just heard, what that means, I'm going to go to a commentary, Book 4 of the Commentary on the End of Matthew by St. Jerome, which is used for the church's liturgy for today in the Divine Office. It's the Matins sermon for today. So it's a commentary on this gospel. So I'm going to read you the whole part that's given in the Divine Office here. It's short. "After his resurrection, Jesus was seen on a mountain in Galilee, and there he was worshipped, and albeit some doubted, their doubts have led to a further establishing of our faith. He then showed himself more openly to Thomas and made him handle his side that was pierced with a spear, and the hands wherein were the holes of the nails. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yea, all power is given unto him who, but a little while before..."